Hello, listeners. Welcome back to Inner and Outer Reality in Reality and Outside. I'm your host, as always, Sean Penalver, and with us today is...
Nisha Crossley.
Nisha, what are your thoughts on existence? What's the first thing that comes to your head?
Aliens. I don't know why.
Go expand on that.
I mean, I think that... I like that. I don't remember the name of the philosopher. That's what I'm always bad with names. Uh-huh. But like, you know, the statistical improbability that we are alone in the universe. It's just, it's unlikely.
Yeah, it's super unlikely, and especially if the universe is
infinite,
in fact, infinitely big, then the odds eventually become 100%.
Right.
And so, yeah. A curious thing that I watched in a video recently about the expansion of everything is that, like, so the universe is expanding, right? And it's expanding. It's the only thing that we know that is faster than the speed of light currently.
So there's actually new information out about how maybe the universe isn't expanding.
Like, and that it's shrinking?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, before we get into that, the theory of, though, if, like, if the universe continues to expand at the rate it is, mm-hmm. eventually planets like ours or solar systems like ours will be so far away from each other that basically the sky will just be black. There will literally be no stars in your system. And even if you tried to reach another solar system, you never would be able to.
Yeah, the distance would be too vast.
Yeah. And so there would never be a way to communicate with any other life form except through... a connected consciousness kind of thing, where you're, like, literally dipping into the fabric of reality.
Well, one day we might be able to fold space.
Yeah, like through black holes or something.
So
like,
that would make distance irrelevant.
Yeah. And so we would need that first. And then, I guess, like...
And at the center of every universe is a black hole, right? I mean, not every universe. At the center of every galaxy... Because our galaxy is the Milky Way. You following me?
Yeah.
There's a black hole. That's what, like, starts that...
This swirl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that black hole has to lead somewhere.
Yeah.
So on the other side of that black hole, maybe there's another galaxy with civilized life.
Yeah, or alternate reality, essentially.
Oh, see, like, I don't think it's a different reality. I think it's the same space-time continuum.
Yes, and so it is, yeah, I agree with that. yeah, let's say surreality, because we're within this reality, and then going through that time hole loop would, yes, continue a branch of our reality, and so I would say, like, that's why I say surreality, because it's...
But it's not in a different time, either.
Yeah, because it's through that war, it's
in
connected
theory,
through that
black
hole.
It should be just a different place in space.
In what I would call the funk.
In the universe.
Yeah. In the cosmos.
Yeah.
And so it could...
But the cosmos implies that there's, like, all of time. Like, time is irrelevant in the funk. In the cosmos, you know? Like all of time is existing at one time. Like, it's all wibbly-wobbly.
Yeah. Yes and no.
No? Okay.
Well, everything is kind of... everything is kind of always paradoxically yes and no, true and false. And then also, not just that, like, those are just the both ends of the spectrum, but both ends of those spectrums connect, and so, like, there's an infinite amount of yes and no, you know, between the two yes and no's, and you never know until you observe that state of the yes, the no, or the between.
You should study physics.
I would like to, yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the things that I really like in my own time, spare time, look into, and, you know, like, find... I listen to a lot of...
Have you read Stephen Hawking's The Theory of Time?
I listened to it in an audiobook.
That's just as good.
Yeah.
I haven't. I just know that if you're into physics, you should read it. That's
all.
Yeah, or listen to it, whatever.
It's fascinating.
Absorb that information. See, most people don't think it is, so, you know, maybe you really are built out for physics.
Because it's esoteric. It really
yes.
is. And I have discovered that I am also an esoteric person and that I have
yes.
esoteric conversation. But it's just like, I still feel that these subjects are important, you know? And like, especially if, as my theory feeds into the funk, that it is just important to whoever or whatever you are to just do what you are doing. And just by doing that, you are inspiring the rest of the future. Just by doing anything, you know, like, and so, like, you were both predestined to do these things, but also you're doing them at your own free will and free time. It's kind of, again, you're in that position, that superimposition of everything being yes and no at every frame and point in time until you reach it, you know, and examine it. And so it's like, make that decision, you know, or even if you don't, it's still making that decision and you're still living the existence of whatever influence you were a part of, as well as every other influence within the entire cosmos and beyond.
And I'll take your word for it.
Do what?
So I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, and see, that's where it gets esoteric, is because, like, just like you're saying, is like discussing these things, or when you get into it with some people, it's like, depends on how much you want to go, if you want to go into those levels, you know, and like what you understand or what your beliefs are, and anything, you know, it branches into just experience and anything, like, and care. I think it's just important to be present.
I can agree with that.
And I think that is, in my study, essentially, like, what I have reached so far. And yes, that is absolutely subject to change, as is everything. Like, literally, like, I know it's a radical thing to say, but, like, let's say that, like, all our physics are the things that we understand, that we know are law, right? And so, like, but as existence has proved with anything, a thing is unable to do something until it is able. And so, like, let's say that, like, a table doesn't walk, right?
Okay.
But you put that into a computer program or a virtual reality simulator, and you draw it, you animate it, and you make a table walk.
Okay.
Then you just made a table walk.
Okay.
And so tables then can walk, you know. And then...
just that table.
Or whatever, you know, table is necessary, you know. Or let's say, again, using a video game example, just like, humans can't fly. Right?
Okay.
Like, we can't, like, jump up and fly around and stuff.
Right.
But you get into games like...
They used to being able to do that in video games.
Yeah. It, like, where a character can suddenly fly, or a character, like, can go into creative mode and edit the world and stuff. And so even though we as humans can't do that, we can do that through other means.
Okay.
And so those other means eventually evolve into reality, in further reality, you know, and again, that level now that was once unable and never even could have been considered is now achievable. And
yeah, like, scientists get ideas from, like, science fiction. And
yeah,
stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it links into, like, how art and science are so important, connected together, because of just the way that art inspires the human mind.
Yeah,
know?
For sure.
And the connection of, like, where people are pulling these things from. And so, just like drawing, how I could relate it is, you've never seen an atom, right?
Right.
But you've seen a drawing of an atom
for sure.
What it looks like.
Yeah.
And so that is art influencing science. And so now that is your perception of what an atom is, even though...
And then if I was to become a scientist, I might make decisions about my experiments based on that.
Yeah. And you could...
drawing.
And because that past drawing or existence that was once unable, like a falsity, right, and now is true, I would say that it continues to branch off into further truths, you know, just like gravity, for example. Like, we still don't know for sure.
Yeah, there's no proof of that gravity, like how it works or what it is.
Yeah,
we
it's
just
still
observe.
Kind of a theory, and then Newton came along and, like, was like, I got the math for this, and he's like, I can, you know, like, this math works out on, like, how gravity works, and yada yada, he invents calculus, essentially.
Right.
And so, mathematicians and people were like, okay, wow, this makes sense, and this is what it is, and it can never be anything else.
Right.
Right? But then Einstein comes through,
yeah,
and he's like, wow, this helped me, you know, this isn't all the truths, but, like, this helped me reach the further truths, right. The next truths.
Yeah.
But even now, it's like, even though Einstein, like, Einstein is hyped, like, everyone knows who Einstein is.
Yeah.
But really, Einstein is underhyped. Like, by, like, like, even with all the hype that Einstein gets.
You're saying that he should be even more famous than yes. he is? That's insane, dude.
It is. It
that
really...
can't be possible. Do you know how many, like, black women are, like, ignored in history that like, did, like, amazing things?
That
like,
is also
I
absolutely
feel like
true.
Einstein has enough hype.
Yeah, you're absolutely... I,
like, I'm
I
sure there's at least one thing that Einstein gets credit for that some black woman did.
Yeah, you're probably right. You're probably absolutely right. And, yeah, I'm glad you caught me on that, because, I mean, that is absolute truth, and so I will expand to also that, like, any of these people are just, like, using what we have in the past and then expanding into the thing. And so then following with Einstein's theory, he creates this thing, and so Einstein was the one who conceptualized the idea of black holes.
Uh-huh.
He hadn't coined the term or anything.
Right.
But with his theory of relativity and time, this concept was coming into light. And then one day, his paper on it was, it was during a war, and his paper, this guy was in a trench, I don't remember his name, but he was like, I can't remember what he did, his job was, you know, either, but he was in a trench, you know, during a war, and Einstein's paper just floats through the air in the wind, and he catches it, you know, it comes to him, and he's reading this paper, and he invents black holes. He's the guy that, like, basically was like, holy shit, like, this all makes sense now. Now I finally understand what to do, you know, and so he... you know, goes into the theory of black holes and what they are, and so, like, and now we're where we are, you know, like, from that. And
it's
so,
still the accepted, most accurate understanding of
yeah.
the universe, yeah.
And so we'll eventually reach a next one. And for anyone to say that we won't, you know, is both true and false. Because, like, yes, some of us won't, but some of us will. Or the entire human race, you know, eventually wipes out and we never get the answer. Or,
I feel like that's the only way that we don't continue to expand our understanding of the universe is, like, literally, like, maybe not extinction level event, but, like, something very similar, you
yeah.
know, where it's, like, something like upwards of 90% of our population is, like, wiped off the planet.
Or lost, yeah.
Yeah.
Because
then we would just switch to survival mode and we would stop, like, trying to understand, like... greater physics and
yeah.
like
until we could reach that state again of a larger colony
yeah
and a larger species
yeah like when survival was like not an issue anymore, you know.
So I was into myrmecology for a while.
What on earth is that? Some garbage about mermaids?
No, I don't know what that would be. Myrmecology is the study of ants.
Oh, okay, that's cool.
So it's
that's
an
cool.
entomology.
And so
yeah.
That's way more acceptable.
Yeah. And so ants, though, have so many similarities. Both ants and humans have so many similarities. Even though they're different creatures, the way our species is, because humans are just animals. Like, even though we have consciousness and we're able to talk to each other and stuff, we're just another type of species.
Right.
We have human instincts and everything. And we are so much like ants.
Oh, no.
And so, like, we just, you know, we work and we colonize and we branch out. We have different colonies, you know, and some of those colonies fight each other. Some of those can work together. We can have multiple queens, you know, like, and they're all just sustaining each other, like, as a colony.
Interesting.
And so humans are, even if we don't reach other forms of life, humans are essentially kind of this ant species that are eventually going to breach other planets and just... you know, travel, just like ants do. Ants, you know.
Yeah, like where we're gonna try and like colonize other planets and whatnot.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're right. We're getting there, close to Mars.
Yeah, and so we're gonna start colonizing the things that help us live, or we die, and that's it. And the Earth can't hold us forever.
Right.
You know, we're
yeah, we
too big of a species. You know, and unless we learn how to live more resourcefully.
I still think it'll have to be a combination of both.
Yeah, I do too. And especially if we want to reach whatever is next, futurism, you know. We just have to be that species that reaches out to the universe. You know, even if it is a risky thing to do, if we don't, then we're just, you know, confined to ourselves. And we'll only know what we know through ourselves. And unless we travel, you know, and break distances and keep pioneering things just as we have in life, then, like, things will just kind of stay the same. And there are people who want that, and then people who want more, you know, like...
But the people who want more are always going to win because you can't stop them from learning.
That is and isn't true. And so, like, where we are, with, like, just like fascism. Fascism, you know, or communism, or dictatorships, they control the information.
Fascism and communism are not the same thing.
No, they're not. But they do similar things of control.
That's not true. People.
Depending on the extremism of the... whatever...
Communism doesn't, like, control your information.
It depends on the level of, like... And it's not...
I don't think it's fair to lump communism in with other authoritative dictatorships.
But there are... Again, when you don't... It's to the extreme. So, like, let's say that there's a communist nation, but they're also a communist dictatorship. You know, it's more the dictatorship that's ruining things than the communism. Because the communism is supposed to be more like social and like socialism.
Right.
And so, but there are governments that make that communism negative. And
but they're not actually communists.
Yes, except that. There's right
just
there.
In communism in name only.
Yes. And that's where we're at kind of now, and where people like conservatives or Trump supporters, you know, they look at the word socialism and they think it's bad because of the history of that.
Because they don't understand what socialism actually is.
Yes, because we've never really seen a successful
socialist.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we kind of have.
Not really. Not one that was actually socialist.
Yes.
Because, like, socialism requires the decentralization of power. And, like, all, like, socialist countries, quote-unquote, with air quotes, like, that have claimed to be socialist countries are really just fascist dictators.
Yeah. Or in charge somehow, you know, like...
Like, you can have a leader, but the leader has to be, like, easily ousted and, like, democratically elected.
And, like, yeah. And that's why it's, like...
And most places don't want, like, 100% socialism, like...
I agree with that. Yeah. Because, like, when you're looking at any level of anything, it's like you're on a seesaw, right? If you go 100% to one side, the seesaw goes down. And then if you, you know, it goes to one side. And so you have to find that balance in the middle. And then, like, you want to take branches of every area, you know, and not go to any extreme side, you know. You want to find that balance in the middle of where it fits.
Yeah, for most things.
Yes. Man, I was thinking of some questions that I would ask on this podcast the other day, but now I'm blanking.
Oh, you don't have notes? Sorry.
I do, but not for this one yet.
So we just want to talk about existentialism?
No, not or life, just anything. Like, what are you thinking of right now? You know, that kind of stuff.
I've been on the hourly wage kick recently.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I've been on that a lot. Complaining about it for everyone.
Yeah.
The new Texas abortion ban bill is pretty up there. That's really intense. It's really sad.
So what's your personal advice on both of those things?
The wage thing, I don't think there's a whole lot. I don't think there's a whole lot that individuals can do except for vote for legislators who will support, like, a more robust minimum wage. I think it's hard to tell people, like, oh, don't work a job that doesn't pay you $15 to $24 an hour. Like, you have to eat and shit like that.
Yeah, exactly. It's the desperation.
Yeah, so I'm not at all suggesting, like, that you have to turn down work or anything like that. The abortion ban, I mean, that's still just voting. Like, that's insane. Just, like, that's crazy.
Yeah.
If you are one of those people that doesn't feel that, like, feels like it's wrong, then, you know, like, I guess do your part by... voting, and if you know people who feel the other way, like, try to engage them in, like, reasonable conversation when it doesn't hurt your mental health.
I would say that, like, no matter what you support, reach out to people who have experienced both sides and listen, you know. And
you mean, like, on each side?
Yeah. And, like, and hear it out, you know, like, experience both sides in multiple things, or, like with abortions.
I really don't feel like it's fair to tell people that they need to, like, reach out and hear the people who are, like, happy about this new abortion ban bill and, like, hear what they have to say. Because at the end of the day, like, it doesn't really matter what they have to say. Like, they're wrong. It's not their body.
And so, yeah,
it's my body, my choice.
I agree. And so what I'm more trying to express is that we need to somehow find a way for those people to experience the other side. Because usually the way that they feel is because it's the level of privilege. They've never had to experience it, and they don't believe they ever will, and that it's not their problem. And they don't know anyone who has experienced it.
Which is probably not true. They probably do.
Yeah, and so it's like, how do we reach that? And what do we do about it? Because it's like, even in the situation, like, I could understand if someone who had never experienced that or had no, you know, experience with a friend or family member, you know, like, and then they don't understand. But like, someone who's like, let's say their immediate family member is going through that, and they just like are avoiding it or like,
yeah,
you know, being toxic about it, unhealthy.
People need to have more empathy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, how do we, as a society, build that up? Because it's like, we're to a point, in my observation, where it's like, we're there, you know, where like, we've reached so much trauma that trauma breeds more trauma, right? Mm. And so how do we escape that kind of loop or that evolution of trauma? And so how do we teach each other socially? Because like, things are so different culturally everywhere that like, how do we as a species of human essentially learn how to socially be a community or a colony, you know, in a way that like is progressive and helps us to our ultimate needs, to where it's like we can kind of breed that out, you know, like let's say that like we're in a culture or environment where like it is so important to be there with your family, you know, or like if things are wrong, there are ways to educate that and like get better, you know, always, even in the worst moments, you know, and then eventually that next generation gets a little bit better and a little bit better, you know, and eventually it's not even a problem anymore. Eventually humans could potentially reach this point where it's like those types of trauma are just a different thing in the past, you know?
Yeah, like where everyone is just accepted for who they are regardless of.
But it's difficult because, again, everyone is so different. Even though we're all just human.
Yeah. It's rough.
What do you think about afterlife?
What do you mean? Like the afterlife?
Or what are your thoughts on life and death? Or anything? Or like,
I don't believe there's an afterlife. I think this is all you get.
Yeah.
So, live it up, work it out.
Yeah, I would kind of... I agree and disagree. Because it's like, I think that this... Like, and we talked about this recently, where it's like, if you die, like, it's kind of like you're a video game character, right? And let's say you're hanging out online in a video game with all your friends,
uh-huh.
and one of you signs out, right? But the character's just there. It's just like, the character never leaves, but they're signed out, they're not moving, it's just an avatar,
right.
You know? It's kind of like that. Like, basically, when you die, your consciousness, like, you log off. You log out the chat, and your body is just there, not being unresponsive while everyone else is still playing the game.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, that is...
And where does your consciousness go?
So your consciousness, that is a question right there. And so you're still within this, like, some sort of greater consciousness, but your consciousness was here within that vessel, that body. And so it's still in the area somewhere. You know, through some form of transfer or information storage or whatever, you know, like that's that force, that energy of life, you know. And so it just blends into the environment. It blends into like the everything. If
the
I had to,
cosmos.
Yeah, the funk, I would say. And so like it just, that energy is never destroyed. It just transfers. And so you are, while you're alive, your consciousness is essentially you and your environment interacting together.
What are you waving at?
Some guy just waved at us through his window.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
Roscoe usually barks at them. He waved?
Yeah, they just waved. I just looked up and they're waving, so I waved back.
Why are they waving?
I don't know. That is kind of weird. And, like, half of their blinds are up and half are down.
Yeah. I see. It's like someone's bedroom or something.
We should go over there.
No.
Have them on the podcast. Hey, why don't you wave at us? What was the meaning of that in life? And no, even, like, let's dive into that in a way. Like, how did that affect our reality just now? Like, we can never escape that moment. That moment will always be a thing that happened. And okay. So, like, it was meant for our
influence. So traumatizing.
Yes and no. You know, like, it depends.
Especially like, when you say it like that.
It's just like, so, here's a thought experiment I was thinking of the other day. I'm like, how to, so I'm going to, I guess, try it on you. Okay. So, like, right now we're in a reality that you don't know the number I'm thinking of.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, that's the reality we're in, and there's this alternate reality where I tell you the number.
Okay.
And so if I tell you the number, then we can never go back to this reality that okay. we're in right now.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, kind of. It's kind of like the progression of time.
Yeah. And so...
As opposed to an alternate reality, but yeah.
It's both. And so, like... Okay. That time brings you to that different frame of state and reality, you know?
Okay.
And it's not all just one single path. It's literally every molecule and particle and even beyond that doing that at every Planck second, like, of existence. Like, not just, like... There's a snapshot of every moment in time just happening, and they're all branching out into different ways, but ours is the one right now where I haven't told you the number.
Mm-hmm.
But there are... I could have told you the number, you know, at any time. Uh-huh. And then we're suddenly in the next form of reality.
Okay.
That's just the thought, really.
All right. That's not a thought experiment.
It kind of is. It makes you think.
That's not an experiment.
Well, that's why it's still... I'm still workshopping it.
Oh, okay.
But that's basically the birth of it.
Mm. I think you might struggle with that one.
Do what?
I think you might struggle with that one.
Yeah, because, I mean, it is... It's a phenomenon, you know? It's just... I don't know how to quite explain that yet, you know? Or relay that to another brain. And that's another thing that people have... That with communication, you know, like, that's a huge difficulty with humans. It's like... You could be saying one thing, but the other person is just, you know, interpreting a completely different thing that you're saying.
Right.
And so how do we epistemically transfer information into each other?
What? How do we what?
So epistemic is basically an absolute truth.
Okay.
It's unavoidable. And the only epistemic knowledge that we really, quote unquote, know is that we think and that we're able to think and do, you know.
Okay.
Because, like, what else can you prove, really? Like, I can't prove that I am here. Because, it could be any moment. Like, we could be an illusion. We could be a dream. We could be, you know, someone having an experience, you know.
Okay.
And so, I can't prove that... I'm not a brain in a vat in a jar okay. having these thoughts and experiences, you know.
Okay, like, and you're not in a computer program?
Yeah. And so we don't have epistemic knowledge on that truth. And so it's not an epistemic that we are here.
Don't we, though?
No, because, like, we can't prove that we are here. Yes, we can, in a way, we are existing, we're having influence, right? And we can prove it that way, but we can't prove beyond that. We can't prove... again, that we're not some other experience. Like, we're not just in this video game. Like, someone's not playing The Sims right now, and I'm a Sims character, and you're a Sims character, and we're just meeting at your house now, and, you know. And soon, our bathroom thing's going to pop up, and we're going to have to go to the bathroom, you know. It could absolutely be that, you know, because, like, we have these patterns of just, like, we're so far with technology at this point
mm-hmm.
that we're reaching the singularity, or we're approaching the singularity.
The singularity of technology, or just...
Of humans with technology, yeah, kind of that branch between. And so, we're now crossing the point of essentially replicating life through simulation.
Close.
We're so close, and we're just reaching closer and closer and closer, like, every day, essentially, you know. And that is speeding up so fast, rapidly. I mean, like, this technology 10, 20 years ago...
Right.
Wasn't anywhere near.
But we still don't have self-driving cars.
We do, though.
But they're... No, we don't.
Yeah, we do.
They're, like, level 2 out of 5. Like, you can't just, like, take a nap.
People do.
Yeah, but and they then, die.
But they also have, like, those cars that have been driving around the country, you know, like, do the ones that do all the tests and everything. And so we do have self-driving cars. Now, are they available to the public? No.
But like, we would all die.
Would we? Like, if we perfected this system? Like,
that's what I'm saying. They're so far away from it, though.
I don't think it is. Like, I think that, like...
2 out of 5.
I would give it, like, 10 years, maybe. You know, like, or 20. Well, depending on where we're going with our government.
They've been at 2 out of 5 for the last decade.
Because that's where we're at with our technology. Like,
yeah.
That where we're at now was nowhere even considerable 10, 12 years ago. But now, let's multiply where we have now.
With VR, I agree.
Yeah. I think same thing with self-driving vehicles. Like,
I used to think so, but I've done a little bit more research then.
Because, like, let's consider self-parking vehicles. I would say that that is a way more successful...
Yeah, yeah, because that's definitely, like, consumer level now.
Yeah, and so, like...
For sure.
That, 5 years ago, wasn't even considered. You know, like, it kind of was and wasn't, but, like, now many cars will just park themselves. And right. It's just, like... that will make things easier to reach that next level of self-driving cars, you know, because, like, now they have that, and now they can just keep fixing it, you know, and so it just takes that first step, and then you do it right or wrong, or either way, you basically just keep polishing it, and so, like, let's say, like, an example I could give is, and I know, like, it's a kind of a tangent, but there's this guy, Wintergatan. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right, but do you remember this, like, marble machine this guy made that he played, like, a song on? It had, like, a guitar, and it was, like, a viral video, like, a few years ago. I'll show it to you when we're done, but he's been making a new one the last, like, 3-4 years, and it's, like, he's almost done with it, like, and I've been following every week, and it's just, like, it's insane where, like, you just start with this idea, and it's not right. Like, you're not going to get it right the first time. And then, like, it's going to be all these engineering problems. And then you just, piece by piece, you find a better way to do these things. And then, like, you just find a new way, you know? And so, like, now the machine that he's built is just, like, it's beyond what he even, you know, planned for in the beginning. But, like, it's such a engineering marvel, you know? And it wasn't just him. He involved the community, and so, like, all these people helped engineer this incredible machine that would have never even be achievable until now, like, at this point, 2021.
It's a machine that plays a guitar?
It's a machine that plays music, and so, like, he gears it up, it's this giant machine, and it has a xylophone, snare drum, bass drum, it's gonna have a bass guitar on the side, and then this thing called an ondophone that he created as his own instrument.
Ondophone.
Yeah, cool. It's like a slide guitar with, like, a couple strings. It's really cool. So I'm excited, because he's to the point where he's, like, doing the final tests of, like, running thousands of marbles through this machine and making sure that there's no fails, you know?
Yeah, that it doesn't break.
Yeah, and so, like, he's doing it, and then he's, by showing it with the community, he has, like, 10,000 Patreons now. Now he just, they go to Discord, and, like, if something's not working or he's, like, looking for ideas... He just has this community that they're just, like, building on this thing and just making it even better, you know?
That's cool.
Yeah. And so I think about that with life and the progression of just, like, you have to make these mistakes and successes, and then you just polish that until you reach the next thing, and then eventually everything is achievable, you know? Maybe not to you, but, like...
Including communication with all those aliens.
Yeah, and I think that... If I were to expand in communicating with aliens, first humanity needs to reach a point where we could be there for each other.
Oh, agreed. Before we start trying to interact with
other species or anything. Because
yeah,
the way that we treat anything that's not human is unacceptable, really, I would say. Like, we pretend that we're the masters of everything.
Yeah.
And we're not.
Yeah, you're super right.
And so, like, we need to get out of this level of, like, racism, sexism, classism, ageism, you know, like, all these isms and everything, and just learn to be there as a humanity, as a species,
right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then
as a planet. And yeah, everything.
And then as a not just that species, but as everything, it's like, we even need to treat other animals better. Like we're a species that is so smart and intelligent that we could literally like, and we do. We save endangered species. We keep them along for so long, but like, we also don't, because like there's areas where they want to destroy those species, like, you know, where they chop down rainforests or such. But like, let's say that and here's a radical example. There's not a snail doctor, right?
Right.
But what if there was a snail doctor? What if there was a doctor that, like, if a snail was injured, you know, this specialist could go and save snails, right? That's a branch out of humanity that we kind of need for aliens. If we can't do that for snails, who's to say that we're going to do that for another species of intelligent creature?
At least we have veterinarians, but I see your point. Yes.
And so it's like we have to take care of not just ourselves, but every living thing in the entire cosmos. We have to learn to be together with it, you know, and to live in harmony. And that is how we reach the next level of, I can't remember what it's called, but basically...
Ascension.
Yeah. Because...
Basically.
And that's a theory of intelligent communication, is that humans have been cut off because we are like that, the way we are. Intelligent species don't want anything to deal with this because we would destroy them. We would fight them.
Right. Oh, yeah. I 100% think that's correct.
And so...
That's when people are like, aliens have come to Earth. I'm like, no.
And it could be possible. It could be that, like... So, let's... Theoretically, let's say humans reach that level that we're traveling space and transversing space and that we're the aliens, right? We could, it could absolutely be possible that like some other species came by and influenced our beings and natures, or something around it, like grass or even a plant. Let's say octopuses, or like they think octopi came from, you know, the galaxy. They don't think that they're kind of earthly creatures, but I mean that's going into, you know, again further theoretics. I can't prove that, you know, it's not epistemic knowledge, but it is like also fungus is another thing that they say is. Outer-worldly.
Our whole life on our planet started from an asteroid, for sure.
Yeah, or the cosmos, exactly.
Yeah.
And then over millions and billions of years, it terraformed because it was in the right atmosphere and environment, and now here we are. And so, like, if that continues, not just for us, but for anything, we need to learn how to be that type of influence and influence things in a proper and healthy way rather than being the destructive natures that we are today.
Right. I think that everyday society gets better, but sometimes it just isn't enough.
Yeah. And there's also so many things that just want the opposite, that are like trying to halt that, you know, because they can profit off of the oppression.
Yeah. The status quo. What's good for the people isn't necessarily good for them.
Yeah.
Silly things like that.
I feel I've been talking a lot.
I'm sorry.
That's just because I'm getting into the esoteric levels of what I know, and I'm trying to share that with you and listeners. But I do want to invite you, if you want to say anything more, or take a moment, like,
cause about the outside,
about anything, because again I just feel I'm talking more, I'm sharing more.
I mean, it's something you want to get the listeners to hear, especially if they haven't before. We've talked about this a lot. Yeah. I feel like
I want to give you a chance to share this, what I guess I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't have anything that I feel like I need to share, but I'm open to questions.
What are your thoughts on, because we were just talking about octopi and mushrooms and, or fungi, the theory that of the stoned ape theory, you know, of, so stoned ape theory is that humans evolved essentially from when apes, you know, stumbled into starting, because animals, you know, they eat things.
Oh, like being tool users and stuff?
Yeah, and so like one ape or a monkey or something like that, you know, ate mushrooms essentially and then tripped, you know, and then had this idea, you know, through that trip of whatever they experienced to do this next thing. And so it evolved evolution. And so through that theory, you expand it into where that, like, let's say fungi came from another planet and is an intelligent species itself, just kind of like a mold or slime mold. Have you ever heard of slime mold?
Yes.
That stuff that's like really intelligent and it can, like, you know, live if it's dissected or cut off and it always finds its way through mazes and stuff. And,
oh, you know, no, I didn't know anything about
and
that.
And it doesn't have a brain and it has like 400 types of sexes and genders or whatever, you know. It's like, yeah, it's this like crazy species.
Interesting.
That, yeah, is here on Earth and they're studying and they learn more and more about it all the time. And so it kind of proves that, like, life doesn't have to have what we have.
Like a brain to be able
brain
to be life.
To, yeah, exactly. And so...
That's interesting. And still perform, like, large, intelligent tasks.
Yeah. And so who's to say that we're not already symbiotic with these types of bacteria or fungi or...
Yeah, I mean, to some extent, we know we are.
Yeah. Because, like, we eat plants and
we have bacteria in our gut and
on
our skin. And
so it's super likely that these bacteria are the things that are kind of controlling us in a way or influencing us. You know, along with our perceptual brain, because the brain is just a thing that has evolved to perceive only what it can perceive until it can perceive further things through further evolution.
Kind of like that thing we were talking about with the colors.
Exactly. And so until we can experience more things through time, we're just where we're at now. And so I think that... We just need to continue to be that influence, like basically the ants that continue to branch out and colonize. But,
well, I don't think that apes ate mushrooms and tripped and then became humans. I think that...
Oh, no, it was a very long process of time.
But I'm just saying, basically, to narrow it down, like, I don't think that that's the case, because there are still... I don't think they had to trip mushrooms to be able to evolve and start using tools, because there's evidence of apes that are alive today... that use tools.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there's some that use rocks to, like, smash open, like, food, like oysters or something, and then there's some that use, like, sticks to get ants out of, like, ant hills.
Yeah, and they've now seen monkeys planting things as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, saving rocks for moments. Like, there was this one instance where a monkey was saving rocks to throw at guests at the zoo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Just like you said, using tool use, you know.
Yeah.
And so, like, they prep and they are able to break these rocks into a way that now is an axe, and they remember that axe and they keep using that axe.
Oh, I didn't know it was that advanced, like, where they're making their own tools.
Yeah.
Just usually the ones I've seen were things that they are the way they are in nature, and then they're using them that way.
No, see, like, I think that, like, humans have been interacting with these creatures for so long...
That they're evolving.
That they're evolving. That they're, you know, going to the next level. And so... Some forms of apes have reached the Stone Age, essentially, now. You know, even though it's in a very, very, very minimal way, that is the first step of the Stone Age.
It is. You're right. Yeah, 100%.
And so...
Interesting.
Right?
But how horrifying would it be if we let creatures evolve into, like, sentience, and then, like, and then what are we going to do with them? We can't even take care of our own human beings,
and,
like...
And that's why I'm saying that, like, we have to reach this level of, like, more rights for everything.
Yeah.
Even, even AI rights. You know, because
eventually
AI is going to get AI's potentially could get to the point where it could make its own decisions and everything, and if it disagrees with the way it's being treated by humans,
right,
it can do it, you know, it's going to do whatever an AI does. We can't even think or imagine what it can do, you know.
Right.
We kind of set the parameters for it, but if it evolves to this thing that's doing it on its own, like, you know, who's to say what would it do?
Right.
And that's where all those sci-fi novels and everything come in.
For sure. Yeah, I think there's definitely enough people who've explored the idea that if you researched it, like, there is, I feel like there's answers out there. You know?
Yeah.
But, I do agree that, you know, we need to start thinking about stuff like that. But our senators can't even understand uteruses, so...
Yeah, exactly. And so it's like, how do we reach this future progressive nature if, like... The leaders we have, you know, have instituted this level of power and fascism where it's like we can't even get rid of them because they just, like, while they're in power, they make up all these rules and laws that, like, oh, you can't, when I'm gone, you can't negate this, ha ha ha,
right.
You know. And so it's like, How do we escape that?
Or even, they can't even be, like, voted out.
Yeah.
Like, they're changing the laws so that way they can, like, overthrow the Electoral College next election. Like.
And so, what do we do? You know, like, as a species and as individuals and people, you know, because, like, that means that, like, voting, you know, is, like, even though I agree that voting helps, like,
yeah,
what if they, what if it reaches to the point where voting is nothing? You know, it just doesn't matter. Like,
right, then we have to revolt.
Yeah.
Take up arms.
And
revolt.
I think what we should do, like, if I were president, or like I were running for an office or something like that, like, I would, and we need to update the voting system. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it needs to be like a ranked voting where like you can put your first, second, and third choice.
Yeah.
So you can vote for whoever you want.
Also, just availability of voting. Like,
oh yeah, like it needs to be easier to vote.
It needs to be so much easier to vote and for everyone to vote. So like I think that like we should be now the only thing restricting this is security stuff, you know. But like imagine that you could just vote through your phone.
Right.
Know? Like they just like send you a link.
Well, a lot of places with better voting like turnout and voter rights, like they just send you your mail-in ballot. Like you don't have to like request it or have an excuse for needing a mail. You just mail your vote in.
Yeah.
And then you just get your ballot and you sit at your computer with your ballot and you do the research for whoever you want to vote for. You fill out your ballot, you seal it. It comes with an envelope that's like already stamped and paid for. You lick it, you throw it back in, and you're done.
But even that, like, as acceptable as I agree that is, like, that is so helpful, and that even there, now people are trying to, you know, halt voting by mail, you know.
Yeah, even though like, all the people who are trying to vote against voting by mail have all voted by mail for, like, their entire careers.
Yeah. And so it's like, even then, how can we make it even easier to vote?
Yeah, you're right. You know, online would be another easy step.
Like, that's the next step we need to take.
But
we
it would just, like, disenfranchise, like, some poor people to some extent, because, like...
Look at that cardinal.
Oh, yeah. I need to fill up the brick feeder. It's on my list of things to do when we're done here.
Yeah, sorry, disenfranchise.
It would disenfranchise poor people because poor people disproportionately don't have access to internet.
Yeah. And so, and that, like... Now that we have that problem, how do we reach the next problem? And I think that feeds into universal basic income. Like,
oh, yeah.
Everyone should have this machine that allows them to participate within democracy. Like, let's say that Facebook was now, like, a place that you could vote, you know, or, like, learn about the government or yada, yada, yada. But then it bleeds into just, like, everyone has such varying different opinions that it's, like, where do you go for, like, epistemic knowledge or truth? And it's kind of hard because everyone's kind of fighting each other in this like system of just like.
Yeah, I mean that's like where the school system comes in. You're supposed to like learn how to do research and stuff, you know.
Yes, and unfortunately, the American school systems are where they're at today.
Right.
And only the privileged few have a higher education, and even that higher education isn't all that great. You know, sometimes it's just they're paying for the privilege of.
Of a piece of paper.
Yeah, and then they can go to college with that, and then that college, like, whether it's a good or bad college, they are able to get through it, and then it's just class warfare.
That's true.
And so, how do we be there for everyone? And, like, I think that, it's like, I could imagine this, like, kind of iPad-ish thing that is given to every household that's basically, like, can only be accessed by you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, let's say that, like, it's this iPad thing, and it has, like, fingerprint scanner or yada yada, you know, like, some way that it knows that it's you holding it.
Right.
And only you are able to access that information. When you put it down and turn it off, it basically just, like, is from a cloud or a blockchain kind of thing, and it basically just, there's no information that's stored within it.
Okay.
You know? And so then no one could steal your information except if they were able to get into that system, you know. And then we would have people working for that system to make that even stronger, you know. Like, because there are people out there that can do these things.
What would you need this for? What's the iPad for?
Government involvement, like voting or anything.
Oh, like, so that way everyone could vote or whatever
yeah,
through it.
So everyone could vote or anything through it, you know. Like, it would have all your records or, like, whatever, you know, like
something more accessible than like having to go get a copy from the court and
yeah, And then, like, you could literally, everyone could just, you need to talk with your representative or something like that. You have this thing that now has a video chat, and you just, like, boop, 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 and calls them up, or calls up a representative of that, and then, like, hey, how can I help you today? It's like, oh, I need this, yada, 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 or, hey, I'm having trouble with my insurance, or something like that. And then, literally, like, the government's just got your back, you know? And it's like, I haven't seen a government that has the people's back, you know?
Not like that. The way that most governments make up for that is they just provide you with universal health care and stuff like that. So that way it's paid for. They don't have to worry about, like, suing your insurance company for you to cover your shit, for example.
Yeah. But then if the government's providing a greater insurance, it's just like, that wouldn't even matter. Or yeah, would it, you know? Like,
it works out pretty good for most people. So then, yeah, you don't need stuff like that as much.
So yeah, it's just, how can we make things better? That's always what I'm just proposing. It's mm-hmm. like, how do we reach the next step together? It's like, I want to work towards that. Like, even if it doesn't work out, you know, it's still better than remaining on a constant, like, no change. Yeah. You know, like,
have you tried volunteering for the Peace Corps?
I've looked into it. Yeah, and so that's one of the things that, again, like, if I were to get into a government position or something, that I would also want to expand to others, is this what I would call future universal networks of knowledge, which would basically be just a easier, more accessible Peace Corps, where, like, anyone could just,
is
like...
Is the Peace Corps not accessible now?
It seems that... I don't know what it takes to, like, get accepted or, you know, be relocated, or how much money you need to have these things, you know, but the program that I would like to... Or even, like, work with the Peace Corps, you know, to, like, make this, like, if that is what the Peace Corps is already like, mm-hmm. then make that more known to people, you know, like, because there are people probably looking for experiences like that, and they could use that, you know?
Yeah, I'm surprised you haven't already signed up.
Yeah, a friend was going to a few years ago, and so I looked into it as well, because it just really sounded like a unique thing, but it was, like, the availabilities were... you know, just not there, you know. And
oh,
there was, like,
yeah.
There were only, like, two countries that were open at the time, and this was, like, pre-COVID, you know. And so, like, what is that now? And so, like, how are we going to connect again socially as different countries, you know, now that there's another virus just going amongst us? Because many other countries are still very scared, you know, just like us. But we need, like, the way I see it, and this, again, is just theoretics and an idea, you know. These are just founding ideas that need to be polished, and that's why I want to work with others to polish these ideas and enact them, you know. And then you fix it as you go. But basically, like, imagine, like, I'm not happy here. Like, I don't like this environment that it's shaping me, you know, it's putting me down. Like, I don't feel that I'm progressing. Like, if anyone's feeling this way, right, I think that feeling, which I'm trying to find a word for that, of just, like, it's not depression and it's not suicidal, but it's that feeling of, like, you don't want to be here, you know what I mean? It's like, this isn't right. It's this, like, weird funk feeling of just, like, things could be better, you know?
Yeah, I get that. My dad, like, talks about that when he, like, left his job in England.
Yeah, and so, like, I'm trying to figure out a word for that, but, like, I haven't found it yet. It hasn't come to me. And so I'm just bringing it up with people, trying to manifest that word for it to come, because that's how words come. But, like, in that feeling, that is what leads to so much trauma in other people, because now these people feel unwanted. And so it leads to either isolation sickness or it leads to them, like, lashing out on other people or anything. Any negative scenario, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, let's say that, like, you now have this broader Peace Corps, or this funk that I call it, this universal networks of knowledge, that you can basically just, like, I want to go live in some other country and just, like, work in whatever shop they have open, like, anything, uh-huh. you know, I just want to get out and go and do and bring myself to this country and give them what I can bring, you know, because, like, let's say that you're someone with a good education that knows how to, like, let's say you're a plumber, right?
Yeah.
And you don't want to do plumbing anymore. And then you move to, like, Mozambique.
Yeah.
And then you help this whatever village you're living in basically, like, install a plumbing system.
But you don't want to do plumbing anymore.
Well, you could still, like, now that you're doing something else, you can help bring these ideas to the table because you're now a knowledgeable person.
I see where you're coming from. It's too bad the world doesn't work that perfectly.
Yeah, and so why can't we try to even try to approach that? And it's like, I don't think that that's the way it is a good enough answer anymore, because it's just like, that's right. You know, like, yes, things are that way, but things change.
Yeah, I think the more younger the generation is, the more we're trying to be like, well, it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah, because it doesn't. Nothing has to be anyway, and there's no set state for any reality. And so it's just like, each and every single one of us has a great influence on what happens in right now, right in this moment, you know, in reality. And so if you like, oh, you know, that's just the way it is, then yes, that will be the way it continues to be, and it will evolve on its own.
For sure.
But if you involve your influence with that reality, then it affects it. Even if it doesn't work out completely the way that you envision, because, like, we have, our expectations are mostly never realized, you know. Everyone sets high expectations, and they try to live these dreams or fantasies, but it almost never works out that way. But, like, you can build up to these moments by just, again, progressing and making tiny, tiny steps to those expectations, you know. And so I think, again, like, I think that as a society and as all cultures, you know, and I think there are some cultures out there that believe this, it's just like, never be content with, oh, that's just the way it is. You
For
know?
Sure. Dude, always be trying to, like, make society better.
Yeah. Like, rise up. Be vocal. You have a voice. Like, even if, like, even if you are someone with anxiety or, like, anything, you know, like, if you're someone who just feels that you can't speak out or do these things or anything, like, do what you can.
Yeah.
And that's it. And because, like...
Which is at the very minimum vote. At the very minimum.
Yeah. And so you just take baby steps, and then that snowball falls down the hill and it just keeps rolling, you know, and either it builds up or it doesn't. Depending on how big the hill is and how fast it's going, you know, any variable. Yeah. It's a very esoteric episode.
Are they not all like that?
No, not always. Maybe. You know, I don't know. It depends on the perspective of the viewer.
You listen to it too, right?
No, not really. Because, oh. I mean, like, I keep so busy that it's just like, if I were to go through it again, like when editing, that's another hour that, like, I could be doing anything, you right. know, like creating music or doing another podcast, you know? And so it's kind of just like, that's why it's an in the moment kind of thing.
I you gotcha.
Know? Now, if it gets to the point where, like, I have enough money, then I would hire an editor or something like that who would, like, go through them or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, exactly. But I want to support. I want to reach that level where I can support someone like that, you know?
I see.
But yeah, we're about wrapping up here. Is there anything else that you'd like to say before we go? Or
no, I think I'm good.
Any final thoughts on everything? Or
no, I think I said what I wanted to say while we were talking about things.
Yeah. How would you assess all of this?
The two abstract is hard for me.
Yeah. And it's a lot to digest.
Yeah, I prefer the more solid, tangible...
Pragmatic.
Pragmatic, yes. That's the word for it, yes.
But even pragmatism sometimes is non-pragmatic. And so, again, it's just paradoxical. And so that's why, my thoughts are just like, just... It is yes and no for everything. So just do. Just do what you are able to do, and then see how the universe reacts to that and what it feeds back to you. And once you... And I can only personally say this, but I can also, from hearing testimonies, when you start to take this level of notice in reality, reality starts to feed back to you. And it's really weird. And... And I can't say that it's like, it's a teleological moment of trying to explain a phenomenon. But, like, once you start to be aware of patterns, you become more aware of things, you know.
Right.
Like, when you're learning a language, you start to be aware of more words. And so, from my experience of investigating life and existence, the more that, like, I get into it, it's like the more that you see these funk patterns in life and how they're everywhere, and that, like, almost everyone notices them, but they kind of, it's in the back of their head.
Right. Because
they're just going through the motions.
Yeah, I get that.
And then once, now that I'm pointing it out, it seems that there has been, like, and again, I can't prove this because it would be impossible, but, like, it seems that there is universal effect of it, you know?
Right. The brain is also designed to do that, though.
Yeah, to notice these patterns and stuff.
To be like, oh, you know, I looked up a Ford yesterday, and now I'm seeing, like...
A Ford.
A million Fords on the road.
And so, those algorithms are just continuing to expand and get more and more real, you know? And so, I think that happens with life as well. Like, once you notice these algorithms or are able to adjust these algorithms in existence... then they work in your favor, in a way. And they don't have to. I mean, they're algorithms. But Nisha, thanks for being on.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome.
And thanks for listening, y'all. Oh, wait. Where can they find you and plug you?
Oh, yeah. My Cash App, huh, is Nisha Crossley.
Yeah. Give her some money, y'all. All right. Thanks for listening. Take care.